talking about your Pittsburgh Steelers. With Steelers safety, Ryan Clark, broadcasting live from Nakama. Call in now with your questions at 412-928-9370. The Ryan Clark Show, brought to you by Honda North on Sports Radio 93.7. The Fan.
Another edition of the Ryan Clark Show, sponsored by Honda North from Nakama on the south side. Andrew Filippone, joined by Steelers safety Ryan Clark and Steelers quarterback Charlie Batch, following a 23-20 Sunday night loss to the Baltimore Ravens. Next up for the Steelers will be the Bengals at 1 o'clock on Sunday. We'll look ahead and preview that game. Also, we'll read tweets from the guys at 6:40, Real R. Clark 25. Ryan, on Wednesday, Terrell Suggs. By the way, how are you today?
I'm awesome.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm blessed. I'm healthy. That's what's important.
On Wednesday, prior to this game, one of the things that Terrell Suggs said in his press conference or teleconference with Pittsburgh reporters was that he urged the referees to keep the flags in their pockets, because if they did that, or if they turned it into a penalty fest, the fans were, in essence, getting robbed. Having played in that game on Sunday, give me your thoughts on Suggs' statements and then the way the refs called the game.
That's definitely a Phil Suggs-esque, I mean, Phil Jackson-esque statement. You know, he does that a lot of time in basketball by saying things about the ref before the game comes, and it usually works in favor of the Lakers when he was the coach of the Lakers. But it was definitely a flag fest on one side. You know, we received a lot of penalties, especially defensively. I feel like, you know, some of those flags are warranted, and others I feel like you can have a discussion about or a disagreement about. But the thing is, though, those didn't cost us the game. You know, even with those penalties, we were right in the game. We're actually winning the game, and they have the ball on the 8-yard line with 2 minutes and some seconds to go in the game. And we just didn't make the plays. You know, I think it was smart by him, because I don't think they were flagged for some things that they could have been flagged for. And I think we were flagged a lot. Was that the way the referee saw it? Maybe it was, but that's still not the reason we lost.
Give me some of the calls that you think there could have been a disagreement over.
I mean, you know, I'm going to just speak for myself. I still haven't gotten a good explanation on why I was flagged. Watched it many times. Definitely turned my shoulder into the player. Even slid my head to the left to get it out of the way. It was a violent football play, but not a malicious or dirty football play. I was going in attempts to separate a guy from the ball. Then we have a guy who's put to sleep, you know, who's experiencing concussion-like symptoms because of a hit, and that play's not flagged.
It sounds like you're talking about the Ray Lewis hit on Hines Ward. Did you feel like that was a malicious play?
I mean, I think when you speak of, if I speak of maliciousness and speaking of someone else, I speak to the character or the intent of a player, and I can't do that because I'm not that player.
Did it look like a football play to you?
Yes, it's a football play. I'm not saying it wasn't a football play, but it was a more direct infraction or of the rule than my play was. But I think my play was flashier. My play was more
louder,
explosive looking than that play. But a rule is a rule, and if you're going to throw it one way because of what you think and even what you feel from the play, you have to throw it both ways. And I think for me, the problem is not a fine. You know, it's not about the money. It's about the 15 yards and the first down given if those calls are made or not made.
Have you heard from the league about a fine?
I haven't. I actually had a call today about my fine against New England. So later on in the week, you know, you find out about those things. This year has been pretty strict that if you do get a personal foul, a fine does follow. I think in certain situations also, too, they have to cover their backs by saying, okay, the referee was right in this case, and this is why you're getting fined, because this is what we see. it's going to be hard to convince me of that, but it doesn't matter because I get that penalty, they get a first down, they get 15 yards, and they end up getting a field goal. So my penalty resulted in points, and I don't want to hurt my team in that manner.
The Ryan Clark Show coming to you from the Com on the South Side. You can get in touch with us at 412-928-9370. Also text the show to 47625. If you are fined by the NFL, that would mean 2 weeks in a row, I guess you would be categorized by them as a repeat offender, which
right.
sometimes, Ryan, means that you would get an opportunity to sit down with the commissioner and Ray Anderson and Merton Hanks and have, you know, an opportunity to hear their side. Would you welcome that type of meeting?
I would not. I have no want to, no desire to sit down with them, to be in the same room with them, because they're not going to tell me anything that I haven't heard. My flags or my penalty aren't for after the play knocking people's helmets off or pulling face masks or doing anything with a violent intent outside of just playing football, outside of trying to make tackles, outside of trying to dislodge balls from receivers, which as a free safety is a major part of your job, that when you throw the ball in between the numbers deep down the field, there's a possibility that you're going to break that pass up, whether it be knocking the ball down or if the pass is there before you get there, dislodging it with a tackle or a hit. So it's really nothing. It's nothing you can teach me. You know, I turn my head, I lead with my shoulder, and then you get a lot of this, you know, helmet to helmet or lead with your head. Your head is in front of your shoulders anatomically.
Was the first contact helmet on helmet on that play?
I don't think so, but it's not my call. Have watched it and been critiqued on it, with it, through it, by my coaches.
What have they told you?
They told me there's nothing I can do. They said there's nothing you can do differently on that play to make a football play. I actually feel like at one point, maybe next year, this is going to be a teaching tape of how to get your head out the way, how to lead with your shoulder, and try to make a play.
Could the NFL force you to meet with them in New York City?
The NFL can do whatever they want. You know, they are the commissioner is part of the governing body of the game, and if they decide that my play beckons a call to come meet with them, I would do it. You know, I'm not saying that I would be opposed to doing it if asked. I'm just saying I wouldn't be asking.
Merton Hanks played safety in the NFL, and now he's in some way, he has a hand in handing out some of these fines.
Right.
Do you think that he sees the defensive player's side as well as he should?
I'm not sure. You know, a lot of times when you get on that side, you're looking at it from a different angle. You're looking at it not from the player's perspective, but as someone who is working for the NFL. I think we all, including the players and the NFLPA, we've spearheaded player safety. You know, it's not a situation to where we don't want players to be safe. I think we want a rule that is enforced consistently. We want a rule that is across the board. This is the way it's done every week. And I think that's where we're coming into the problem, because it's based on what the referees feel or what they think they see. And I think in a situation with this week, you know, if you're comparing those two hits, how is one flagged and not the other?
Would there be any consolation in Ray Lewis getting fined for that hit on Hines Ward?
I don't care about his fine. Honestly, if they fine him, it's worse to me. You know, because it's an admittance of a wrong. But whereas they got a first down and 15 yards, we end up having to kick a field goal. So it would be no consolation in it. I wouldn't be excited about it because, you know, we lost the game. Did that play lose the game? No, but from my standpoint, I just don't like hurting my team in that manner.
At the top of the show, you said the officiating was one-sided. Included in that are some of the pass interference penalties against you guys?
Some of the pass interferences were pass interferences. I mean, you can't, you know, and if that's what they see, you know, and we had a holding on Max Starks, you know, that was called. I'm not saying that our infractions weren't infractions. I just don't see how we did that much to them that they weren't doing to us, or or plays that they didn't see, infractions by the Baltimore Ravens. But that's what the referees call. And it's like I said before, because we're sticking on this subject a long time and talking about it and bringing different things up and revisiting my statements. The statement that needs to be focused on the most is the flags are not why we lost the game. If the communication is correct on the last play, mainly with me, William Gaze expecting help over the top. I'm playing a different coverage in the slot. If I'm where I'm supposed to be on that play, if the communication is correct between he and I, the touchdown never happens.
Well, then let's focus on that then.
You know what I mean?
Where did the miscommunication happen?
Just in the huddle. Just with the play call. You know, all night we had been checking a certain thing to that formation, and that's what I was thinking and trying to relay it to people. But sometimes when you're in certain calls and the defensive backs, the cornerbacks aren't man-to-man like they were, it's hard to relay the call to them. So we all didn't get the check, and I was caught in a place where I shouldn't have been. I should have been higher into the half. And that coverage we had played all night. You know, we played that coverage tons of times through 9 games in a year, and I've never been where I was on that play. And you just can't have that as a veteran, as one of the team leaders. And that's just one of the things that I bring to the team, is having everybody communicated, having everybody on one accord, and understanding what my position is supposed to be. And to leave William out to dry like that, and also leave my team out to dry. I mean, it's been killing me. You know, I didn't sleep Sunday night, you know. And, you know, I've watched it and replay it constantly, trying to figure out what I could have done differently, because the thing for me that hurts the most is that it wasn't physical. You know, the mental things, the things you can't control. We didn't get beat physically on that play. I got beat mentally, and I left my cornerback out to dry. And I take full responsibility, you know, for that play and for that touchdown. And there's so many plays that go into winning or losing the game, but when you're in that moment, when you are at the play, at the emphasis of what you're supposed to be doing, you have to make that play. And they were depending on me to do that, and I didn't do that for my team. And it kills me, you know, and I just can't wait for another opportunity.
We'll bring Charlie Batch onto the show. He's got an event happening that will help promote. We've got some tickets to give away for that, so stay tuned. We'll get Charlie's quick take on what happened on Sunday in a few minutes. This is the Ryan Clark Show, brought to you by Turf Tailgaters, urging responsibility and fun. Visit them at facebook.com/TurfZone and join the conversation. The conversation on the Ryan Clark Show continues right after this on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Pittsburgh's hometown sports station. To the Ryan Clark Show, live from the Comma on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
And it's sponsored by Honda North. Andrew Filippone with Steelers safety and Steelers quarterback Charlie Batch. In about 15 minutes, we'll read your tweets into Real R. Clark 25. We'll also preview the Cincinnati Bengals, who will enter Sunday's game against the Steelers on a 5-game winning streak. Charlie, you've got a big event that's happening right around the corner, the 5th annual In the Pocket event. And you want to give away a couple of tickets to a lucky listener.
Yes, giving away. We're a 5th annual In the Pocket event as we raise money for reading and computer literacy programs for the Batch Foundation. It's great. You know, our lead sponsor, you know, Equitable Gas. You know, I got to give a big thanks to them. I appreciate everything and all the support. But, yes, we're giving out 2 tickets this week. The event is on Monday, November 14th, 7 p.m. at Jay Verno Studios. And, you know, we're going to do a tweet contest.
Oh.
Tweet contest. First one.
You're not eligible, Ryan.
Oh, I can't tweet Charlie and go?
Well, he can't. He is eligible, but I don't know if he can come up with this tweet.
Okay,
that we're going to say.
Here
first person who can tweet me a picture of Dr. Seuss's All the Places You Could Go gets free tickets to the event.
At CharlieBatch16.
At CharlieBatch16. If you can tweet me a picture right now, the first one who tweets the picture wins tickets.
I lost.
To this.
Now,
you might have one, but I know it's not at home. I mean, not here. It's at home.
Give the listeners incentive to take the time to send this picture to you. What's going to happen at this event?
Actually, what we're doing gives you an opportunity to compete against poker, pool, or ping pong against one of the players. And depending on what your craft is, you know, we have certain players that like to play all three. Maybe one is just their area, but they definitely get an opportunity to compete against the player, and bragging rights are at stake. when you're talking about you have a year of bragging rights to say, you want to know what, I beat this player, because you can't do this again until next year. So that is what makes this event exciting.
And this is why Ryan Clark does not play. I am just there solely for entertainment purposes.
There you go, one more thing. You got Chris Leon at West Penn Billiards. He's the one who helps supply all of the poker, ping pong, and pool tables. So, you know, you got to give him a shot.
Ryan, you don't get involved in any of those shuffleboard games or ping pong games that happen in the locker room during the week?
Charlie, I sit down at my locker and watch. I'll stand by the table and watch Charlie just be a pool shark and just totally take over the pool table. Every now and then, Dennis Dixon wins a game, but then he quits and doesn't let Charlie get his get back for a little while.
Because it's not bowling.
Right. But the thing is, Dixon's good at pool, shuffleboard, and basketball in the locker room. Charlie Batch is a pool player. That's what he does.
You should see Ryan as he walks past. He gives people the eye, like, I think I can do that, but you know what? I'm going to keep walking.
You know, I'm saying.
He's the one that you will want to be scared with. You know, you sit back and say, here's a guy that just, all right, I'll let y'all play, and then come in there and just take all your money.
Dennis Dixon throws me like one basketball per week to shoot. And usually I make it, actually, except for now because, you know, I got a banged up shoulder, so my jumper's a little off. But last time I shot one, I made it. But I'm just a guy, I just observe and love to watch my teammates have a good time in the locker room.
Charlie, I know you've got an engagement you've got to run and get to, but I've got a question about the offense in the second half on Sunday. Was it part of the game plan during the week to, at some point, go primarily to the no huddle in this game?
Yes. I mean, that was something that really that we talked about going into early in the game, and we did try to attempt that. You know, we did not convert on a third down opportunity, but we knew in that second half, if we came out after halftime, hey, we can go out there up-tempo and, you know, try to change the game a little bit. And we were able to do that. But ultimately, in that first drive in the second half, we weren't able to convert because we turned the football over.
Isn't there a misconception that the no huddle is always faster? And you see this as a defensive player, Ryan. A no huddle a lot of times means we're going to go to the line of scrimmage, see what the defense shows us, and audible or make a play call from there. And that's what I saw a lot of on Sunday. It wasn't always make sure you snap the ball with 20 seconds on the play clock. Ben would maybe waste it down to 5 seconds and see if the defense gave him any hint or clue to what to do.
I think that's the biggest thing, the difference between a hurry-up and a no-huddle offense. You know, it gives you an opportunity to see if they have a blitz coming, which way it's coming, so you can slide your line, if it's going to be a cover two or a cover three look. And as for defenses, it's hard to hold your water. You know, you have to watch the clock and understand that, you know what, they don't necessarily have to snap the ball right now. So I think it works well when you have a quarterback who knows what he's doing, who can identify these things. And also, I feel like a center, like a Marquise Pouncey, who knows football and can get the line in the right spots, it worked well for us.
And you can see even Baltimore, they didn't necessarily run full no huddle, but they ran a semi-version of that where they weren't necessarily huddling, but took us away from substituting personnel. And that was something that you have to give them credit to, because they were trying to push the tempo up a little bit as well.
Is that a function of those offenses, guys, being so effective in college that it has made, you know, pro teams have seen that and tried to use it in some way at the pro game?
I think it's the fact that defenses and the matchups they can create when able to substitute, that's a way to get them out of doing that. If you look at the college, a lot of the ways the college is running, it's about tempo still. You know, I think also it's about masking what the quarterback has to do. You know, you see them get up there, get in a new huddle, they're lined up, they look to the sideline, and then it's like a board with like Charlie Batch's face, a beaver, some Air Jordans, and like a Nakama symbol.
Like the Oregon.
Right, yeah. You know, so like you're trying to figure out what it is. I think it's a way to help quarterbacks from having to figure out things, and also give it office coordinators an opportunity to survey what the defense is going to do. So I think it's a little bit different because it takes the heat off of quarterbacks in college. In the NFL, I think if you have a quarterback who understands football and who can read these type of things, it really allows you, once you're at the line, to see the defense, know what they're going to be in, and attack them as such.
And do you feel like in those situations, Charlie, is the offense more in the hands of the quarterback than the offensive coordinator? How much is Ben Roethlisberger involved in the play calling when you guys shift to that offense?
No, when we go to he's in pretty much 100% of the control of it, except if you get to maybe a third down situation where you may need a better play than what that package provides. But when you talk about when we're full-fledged, Ben has total control.
Charlie, thanks for coming out. Again,
no problem.
The fifth annual In the Pocket event, charliebatchfoundation.org for more information.
By the way,
batchfoundation.org for more information on the tickets.
By the way, you're on the radio, you can't see this. Charlie Batch is sharp today. Man, this guy is sharp. I'm talking about cufflinks, slacks, button down. Got me looking all shabby, but it's radio, so it doesn't really matter.
I didn't get a chance to go home. We had a United Way event today that we were helping kickstart the United Way campaign off at EQT today. We were downtown, so they had, you know, their big function out there. So really, I'm wishing EQT the best of luck or lots of luck as they continue to raise the bar and as they go out there and raise the money to set the example for other corporations around the city.
Charlie, good luck on Sunday.
All right, thank you.
Ryan, let's get back to the Ravens game. You said afterwards that you felt like the Ravens had proved that they were the better team. Why do you think they've been the better team this year, outside of beating you twice? What are they doing this year that might be different than in years past?
Honestly, last game, you know, I just didn't make that play at the end. You know, I think everybody else on the team performed well enough and did what they had to do in order for us to win. I need to get locked in with the linebackers there and understand whether we're checking or not, and also get the calls relayed to the rest of the players on the field and make that play. And then we're not even having this discussion. But that's part of them being a better team, is that I didn't make that play. You know what I mean? In the first game, which is something that we never expected and something I never expect to happen again. It was just one of those days where they just outplayed us in every facet. Their intensity was better. I don't think that was the case this weekend. I think we, for the most part, were the more physical team also. You know, even with the play I was flagged for, it was a physical play. I don't think it was illegal, but it was physical. I had an opportunity to meet up with Vontae Leach in the flat, a 260-pound running back, and you're not turning it down. Larry Foote's making hits. Lawrence Timmons is blowing up people. Offensively, we're running the ball well. You know, we're being physical at the point. So I think that was a big part of the game. You just have to execute for 60 minutes, and we didn't do that. And they did. You know, you have to give credit to the Baltimore Ravens for playing a more complete game and a full 60-minute game against us. And, you know, we love the opportunity again, but there's still a lot of things we have to get better on in order to earn that opportunity. And it starts this week with
Cincinnati. Have you ever had a play linger or last or stick with you as long as that end of the game?
Yeah, I have. I mean,
so this isn't new.
Nah, it's happened, and I think, you know, those things make you better players, and, you know, that's a mistake for me. Like, I've never had that play happen or that mistake happen, but that's the mistake that I won't repeat, you know, and that's the good thing about, I guess, being experienced and having that, but you just wish it never happens in the first place.
At the end of the game, John Harbaugh got a Gatorade bath from his teammates. Did you laugh at that? I did.
I didn't even see it. I heard about it. You know, that's just the way they feel. You know, it kind of goes along with the dancing.
It's week 9.
It kind of goes along with the dancing and everything. Week 1 was worse. Trust me. It was worse. You know, and, you know, I did see part of his post-game press conference. He's like, people in Baltimore stood up on the sofa, this and that. I mean, we're about winning championships and Super Bowls. Right now, I think a big focus for the Baltimore Ravens was being better or beating the Pittsburgh Steelers. And if that's the way they want to celebrate, then more power to them. For us, the season's not over. We want to keep improving. We want to keep working to be a better football team. And that's what we're going to do. You know, I don't care or really worry about how they do business in Baltimore. You know, it's about how we do business here in Pittsburgh. We have an amazing coach who probably would have went ballistic had we poured Gatorade on him after the game, but that's the way our organization is run. We can't control theirs, and if they're excited about a win, they're supposed to be. You know, if it's that important to them, then you're supposed to be excited. We would have been excited, too, had we won the game.
An important challenge, a big test on Sunday. The Steelers will play the Bengals. We'll preview that matchup. We'll change it up and read your tweets next. Real R. Clark 25. The Ryan Clark Show continues from the Com on the South Side. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
To the Ryan Clark Show, live from the Comma on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Bengals on Sunday, winners of five in a row. We will preview that team in a little bit. The Ryan Clark Show, sponsored by Honda North. Andrew Filippone with Steeler Safety, Ryan Clark. RealRClark25, that's where you can follow Ryan on Twitter. And this is when we read your sometimes off-the-wall questions. Any of those tonight, Ryan?
I don't know, man. You know, everybody wants to know why I got... what happened on the last play.
Did they listen to the first 40 minutes of the show? Where have they been?
You know what I mean? So let's see, man. We'll try to find something. I got an easy one. Here we go. Let's go with the easy one. This is from JH304. Did I play any other sports than football in grade school? I played everything, Drew. I'll tell you what, man. I was one heck of a third baseman growing up. Did you play baseball?
Yeah, I did.
You like a baseball guy. I was one heck of a third baseman. Then I got to be about 12, and I discovered summer league basketball, which I wasn't very good at. Okay, I was okay. And then I stopped playing baseball, but I played everything, man. Everything but, like, soccer when I was growing up. And then football just kind of took over. I played basketball in high school, was, you know, all conference and all that, but I was 5'10", and couldn't really jump very high. So
were you a point guard?
Of course. I played point.
Defense first, just like in football?
I played defense. I usually got put on guys. A lot of guys I guard, especially in the playoffs. One of the guys ended up going to Memphis. Another one actually started point guard for LSU. I don't think I
Who
ever,
are these guys? Might I know them?
I can't remember the other. Sharon Chapman, he started at Memphis. And Torres Bright played point guard when we went to the, Elite Eight. It was with Stromile Swift. When he beat Texas. Those two guys I guarded. Louisiana's not really big on great basketball players.
It seems outside of football, that's your favorite sport to watch now.
I watch basketball more than I watch football. I guess it's because I can't do it, maybe, and I do play football, but basketball is just exciting. And the NBA basketball, not so much during the season, unless it's LeBron playing or Kobe playing against each other, and you have those type of guys. But, you know, usually they just kind of lollygag around and wait till the playoffs to actually go out and try to win a game. Let's see what else we got, man. We have everybody. Not everybody's asking about the flag.
Well, we covered that ground too.
I don't know, man.
Well, I've got a question for
you.
Go ahead,
brother.
Relate to the Steelers. Now, it's been an oppressively solemn week for us ever since those allegations were made against and the charges were made against Jerry Sandusky over the weekend.
Definitely.
Is that something you guys will talk about in the locker room on Wednesday,
it's
tomorrow?
It's something that has been talked about already. You know, you talk about a ton of guys who have children, first of all. And whenever anything deals with harming a child, it's an extremely, to me, heinous act. Then you look at the hierarchy of the Penn State Athletic Department, and you look at the way that things were handled and so many different people being involved in it. You know, you want to say to yourself, at some point, one of these adults has to step up and say something. You know, I guess you don't want to necessarily use the word do the right thing, but in this case, you do. Just in any way to keep more children from being harmed. It's really sad that now, you know, these people do have to come out. I think a new guy, it was 8 before, now it's 9, with a guy who's in his 20s coming out, but saying this happened, you know, a decade ago. So you put him at roughly 10, 11 years old, having to deal with this. It's just incomprehensible how something like this isn't brought to the proper authorities.
If you played for Penn State and you were on that team right now and you were getting ready for a game against Nebraska on Saturday, would you want Joe Paterno and Mike McQueary and Tom Bradley and some of the coaches that were around for this to lead you on the field?
I wouldn't. And maybe I'm saying that as a 32-year-old man with a 10-year-old son. You know, maybe I am. But I think just the compassion that you should have, you know, for children, the compassion that I have, I would want someone who's like-minded with me in that situation to be leading me out on the field. obviously what Joe Paterno or what these men do in their private lives has nothing to do with their ability to coach football. But I feel like it does have something to do with their ability to lead men.
And that's what you do as a college football coach. Isn't that part of the responsibility? You're an educator.
That's what I'm saying. It's part of leading men. I think it doesn't show. Clearly, they're not the people who were involved in the crime. And I'm not trying to say that they're as accountable as Coach Sandusky is. You know, I'm not trying to say that. But what I am saying, especially I think, and you look in the irresponsibility of the way the situation was handled, and to hear guys say, well, you know, I reported it to the higher ups, or I reported it to the people who are in charge of certain things. That's not the way that I've seen things handled at Penn State in other situations. It's never been, oh, I'm going to go to the AD or this and this, even in situations that involve sports. So for this to be happening, I guess for me, it's just hard to understand how no one says, you know what? Or even if you feel like you've reported it and enough time has gone by without something being handled, you know, bringing it back to the forefront, like, okay, if this hasn't happened for me reporting it to this person, maybe I should go to someone else.
I agree. I mean, our boss, Terry Fox, is here right now. If something happened in the bathroom here that was inappropriate, I wouldn't tap him on the shoulder and say, Terry, guess what I just witnessed?
Right, exactly.
I take matters into my own hands.
Well, that's because Terry can't do anything to put you on the radio right now. You know, he's not going to be able to deal with that act, you know. And it's truly, you know, I didn't say that, you know, to be funny, because it's such a serious situation.
It really is.
It is really something that, you know, you shouldn't joke about. Just, you know, if you nip it in the bud, if you stop it as soon as you hear about it, you never know how many more children you could have saved. You know, and to be involved.
We already know of a few. I mean, it happened in 2002, and there are testimonies from victims in this grand jury investigation that happened post 2002.
Right. And I think the thing that we all have to be careful of doing is not judging the people who are involved, but get to the bottom of the situation. We can't speak to how good these people are. We can't speak about their character as men. All we can speak about is the mishandling of a very delicate situation.
Yes. We'll turn the page and preview the Cincinnati Bengals next. This is the Ryan Clark Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Live from Nakama on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Sponsored by Honda North, Andrew Filippone with Steelers safety Ryan Clark. Pittsburgh travels to Cincinnati on Sunday, 1 o'clock kickoff on KDK-TV against the Bengals, who have won 5 in a row for the first time in a really long time. And from your perspective, getting ready for that offense, Ryan, from what I've seen of the Bengals, I think they've had really smart play calling this year with Dalton. Really short passes, and then what they'll do is once or twice a quarter, they'll just throw it 40 yards downfield, either Green or Simpson. And if it gets intercepted, they're like, who cares? Just get us a punt, you know?
Yeah, they've been doing an amazing job. I think a big part of it is Andy Dalton's ability to play within the scheme and not make mistakes. Also, with Cedric Benson and Scott being able to run the ball effectively. But you look at what A.J. Green's been able to do, along with Dalton, two rookies that's been able to solidify that passing attack is huge. And for us, it's going to be a challenge. You know, you still have Lee and Jermaine Grisham playing tight end. Jerome Simpson out there, you know, is a very big guy. So for us, it's going to be a very tough challenge defensively. And also with Zimmer, they play good defense. Mm-hmm. So for us, it's an important game. It's no fluke that they're 6-2. You don't win 5 in a row in this league playing the teams of the caliber in this league without being a good football team. So it's an important game for us. It would have been important had we won anyway, but now it even raises the stakes because you don't want to fall behind two AFC North teams. But they've been doing well.
Impress you when you watch them.
And I sit there like, man, how are they 6-2? You know, and they fought back from adversity. You look at last week down at halftime, and to have a quarterback like Andy Dalton, you know, get his chops wet, leading that team back to victory was big. Defense coming up, making big plays in the fourth quarter. So they have a certain confidence that even if we get behind on the team, we can come back. And obviously, they've been able to win 5 in a row, and with that builds confidence in your team. But I think the major thing is being able to win games and have faith in your quarterback right now after coming into the year feeling like it was going to be so bleak. So for us, coming off a loss, it's just important that we go out, prepare well. Them being such a talented team and playing so well allows us to regain that focus we need, and we're excited about it.
Ryan, appreciate your honesty, your candor tonight. We talked about some tough plays and a tough outcome, but you took it in stride, and I really appreciate it.
Oh, well, thank you, man. Good show. Appreciate
it. You got it,
buddy.
Man.
Yes, sir.